Well, we are in week 7 of this journey, 8-week journey we've been in through the book of Joshua, which if the math is right, next week will be 8, which will be the final week. So we're coming close to wrapping this up. And so far in this journey through Joshua, while we've talked about God is the central character, he's the hero of the story. From a human perspective, the person we focused on the most and who we've talked about has been Joshua. But here we are in chapter 14 today, and the focus moves from Joshua to someone who he is paired with, even though we don't really hear about him a lot through Scripture, and that's Caleb, the only other figure in the history of Israel who experienced deliverance from Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, all of these things. He's the only one who gets to enter the Promised Land along with Joshua. And we've reached this point in this long journey in the history of Israel where they're in the Promised Land, and now the land is being divided up and allotted among the various tribes. And this has been a long journey, especially for Joshua and Caleb. And we first encounter Caleb, as we've talked about, being among those 12 spies that were sent out back in Numbers 13 and 14 to go out and spy out the land and then return to Moses and the people with a report of what they found. And so Caleb had seen what God had done in Egypt. He'd experienced the parting of the Red Sea. He had been on this long, long journey and seen all of these things that God had done. And here we find him as he has faithfully followed and trusted in God throughout this whole long journey. 45 years. It hit me this week that Caleb is at the end of a 45-year journey now. Not quite the same as my 45 years, obviously, but you know that number just kind of it tripped the trigger in my head. We see him 45 years later now ready to take hold of what it was that God had promised him so many years before. And so we're going to be in Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to begin in verse 6 and just read down through the end of the chapter. Joshua chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the Promised Land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, 'The land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land, and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God.' Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Oh, that we would all be able to say that. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, you think Caleb has been thinking about this. He knows exactly where he's going, what he wants. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said." So Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, the great heroes of the descendants of Anak, and the land had rest from war. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we find Caleb 45 years after we first encounter him in Numbers, standing before Joshua, and he's requesting the hill country that he had scouted out 45 years previous, and where the giants had been seen. It's interesting, if you go back and read that account, he doesn't necessarily point out the giants, but he doesn't dispute that there were some, he doesn't dispute that part of the other 10 spies' report. But we find him coming to Joshua and asking for this land. It was the very land that he had set his feet on and on that journey that he had gone out on with the other 11 spies. And it was still occupied. But he was confident that with the power of God and with the strength that God had given him, he would be able to take this tough territory that he had requested. And we are, just like Caleb, you know, we have things that God has called us to go and conquer, God, things that God has promised us, things that he has said he wants us to move into. And just like Caleb, in most of those cases, as we come closer and closer to the promises, that as those move from promises to reality, we face obstacles, we face difficulties, we have things that we have to work through. And I wonder, the passage doesn't give us any indication of this, so I guarantee I'm projecting on Caleb here. But I wonder if, as Caleb he's leading his delegation of the tribe of Judah to go talk to Joshua, there's not this, you know, we all have inner monologue that goes on, that there's not this voice that's going on in Caleb's head going, you don't really think you're 85 years old. You don't really think you're going to be able to take this. And you don't, I mean, has God said anything to you about this in the last 45 years? And I know that's probably me projecting into Caleb's mind what would have been going on, and I have a voice, just like the rest of you do, that likes to put those little seeds, and I have named my voice, and I have named him Cletus. And the reason I have named him Cletus is because, everybody, you can be honest with me, if you had an uncle that you looked up to, I'm sorry, but how many of you have ever met a Cletus that you took seriously? And so when I think of Cletus, the image that pops into my head is Mater from Cards. I mean, how can you take Mater seriously? And that's been an effective thing for me to think of this hillbilly redneck tow truck that, you know, can't drive straight, and, you know, that I just can't take him seriously. And that's been an effective thing for me. Now, you can judge me all you want, but it's actually helped. But I wonder if Caleb had a Cletus in his mind as he was, but we don't get any indication of that. But, I mean, he was only human. But we do get the impression that even if he was experienced, I mean, we all think we're inadequate. Which ironically is a good place to start, because you're right. I'm inadequate, you're inadequate, but we serve a God who is more than adequate. And that's not even, you know, like when we talk about more than conquerors, I say that because there's not really another term he's more than adequate. And so Caleb comes to Joshua in this confidence, this in spite of whatever voices he may have been hearing in his head. He knows that the God that he has served all of these 85 years of his life is the same God who has delivered over and over and over again. And so there's some important lessons we can learn from the life of Caleb in just this little episode, without a whole lot of information on him to really inspire, maybe encourage us in those moments where we just, our inadequacy is right there. To be reminded that we serve a God who is more than adequate. Caleb ends up being sufficient to the task because God supplies him with everything that he's going to need to face whatever it is that he faces. And not just in this situation, but every other situation he had faced in the past and will face in the future. And as we said, you know, Caleb's been around on this journey for a long with Joshua. He's been on the long haul, all the way back to Egypt, to this very day. He's seen all of these things that God has done, and he's trusted him to keep doing what he does. His faith hasn't wavered. His confidence in the God of Israel is just as strong as it has always been. And that in 45 years previous, he and Joshua had gone out with the other 10 spies. And when they came back, we know the story, the minority report did not quite match the majority report. The majority said, well, yeah, it's good land, but man, you should see the people. There's no way, there's absolutely no way we're going to be able to take them. And Caleb and Joshua, well, Caleb's actually, more, we don't really see Joshua say anything, but he's with Caleb. And he says, no, this land is great. And if God is with us, there's no reason in the world we can't take this. And it wasn't just that he was confident that God, that they could take it. They were confident that they were going to take it because God was going to go before them and with them. As the song says, before you and behind you and with you. And that's what Caleb had confidence that God was going to do. And as the story goes, the people believed the majority report. And as a result, Caleb and Joshua are the only two that end up receiving the blessing of being able to enter the promised land that they had just gone and spied out. Now, 45 years later, Caleb is 85 years old, and he was still bold enough to believe that he had it, or he had access to something that was going to allow him to capture the land that God had promised him. He placed the same confidence that he had had 45 years earlier when they crossed the Red Sea and when he'd seen God destroy the Egyptian army and all of these other things that he had experienced. His confidence and his faith in God had never, ever wavered. And even in the midst of wandering through the wilderness, because let's face it, this was not an easy journey for any of them. Yes, Joshua and Caleb get to enter the promised land, but they still had to go through all of the things and experience all of the things that the rest of the people of Israel had to experience as they wandered through the desert. But he was still determined to place his confidence in God's power to see him through. Now, if the timeline lays out correctly this way, Caleb was just about 39 years old when they left Egypt. Because it was about a year later, as they have wandered, gotten closer to the promised land, that the spies are sent out. So at 40 years old, and we can do the math because it's 45 years later and he's 85 years old. So we know they went out to spy the land when he was 40. Which just goes to show that Caleb, he was not a child. He was old enough to have possibly let the experiences, I mean, he'd been a slave in Egypt for at least 39 years of his life. He had experienced enough in life to, if he would have allowed it to let the hardness and the experience and the difficulties of life harden him and to minimize and diminish his confidence in God, but he didn't. Somehow the other 10 spies had allowed everything that they had experienced on the negative side to make them focus on the problem rather than the one who was going to be the solution. And as a result, we don't know anything else about them other than the fact that they died and didn't enter the promised land. The only two names that, and they're all named in numbers, but the only two names we remember are Joshua and Caleb. Because of their confidence, because of their faith that God would deliver the land. Caleb's faith was not shaken by the circumstances that he faced. And if we are going to be able to move forward, if we're going to be able to take, you know, we're probably not going to be called to conquer physical mountains and take land like that, but if we're going to move forward into what God has promised us and what God wants to give us, we have to be just like Caleb. Our faith has to be planted in the God who delivers. And that's what we see in Caleb's example. As we said, you know, he's been through these difficult times in the desert. He's been through this 45 years of wandering, and as a result, he has this unparalleled strength. You know, difficult times, depending on how we deal with them, have the ability to make us stronger. They have the ability to give us a vigor and an energy as we trust God in the midst of those. You know, we as Christians, we have a framework. We've talked about this. One of the blessings we have is not that we don't experience hard times. We do. But it's that we have a framework and we serve a God who can put things into perspective and who can use those moments in ways that nobody else can to strengthen us and to grow us and to make us into the people he's desired for us to be. Caleb kind of lost the fear of the unknown and things that might have frozen. Well, it did. It froze 10 other spies in their tracks. He lost that fear because he saw what God could do. He remembered what God did at the Red Sea. He remembered that God waited until that army was right in the middle of the water, and then he closed them, swallowed up that entire army. He'd seen how God had delivered them out of Egypt. He'd witnessed the plagues. He'd seen all of these things. And as a result, he was stronger then, 45 years later, than he had ever been in his life. Or just as strong, as he says. Unfortunately, for some of us, the opposite thing happens. As we get older, you know, rather than being strengthened in the hard times, I was going to use the word toughen, but, you know, we respect toughness. No, it hardens us. I'm thinking of toughness like shoe leather and rawhide, not toughness like I can withstand things. And the reason that those difficult and hard times tend to harden us is because we try to get through them on our own strength. And when things don't turn out the way that we wanted them to, if we don't succeed under our own power, it just turns us into cynical, jaded people. And how many people do you know who are like that? I have people that I love dearly who I would fit into that category. I don't enjoy spending a lot of time around them. I enjoy spending time around the Calebs. The people who are confident, who are ready to move forward, who have not been hardened and damaged and you know, we're all damaged by the circumstances of life and so, but the ones who have allowed them the things in life to just make them into cold, cynical people. And it's because they've tried to deal with those moments and those situations on their own. On the other hand, you have a Caleb who in the midst of difficulties and circumstances knows where his focus is, and it's not on the circumstance. And as a result, we see Caleb at 85 years old just stronger and more confident and more faith-filled than he has ever been in his life. That's the difference between a Caleb and a Joshua on the one hand and 10 spies who we don't know anything about. Joshua and Caleb had placed their faith and their confidence in the God who would deliver them. And I believe when Caleb makes this reference that he's stronger now than he was way back when Moses gave him that promise, I'm speaking on multiple levels here. Obviously, he's making a reference to his physical strength. You know, he's ready to go. But it's also, he's as strong spiritually, mentally, emotionally, than he just as strong as he was back then. And in a very real sense, probably on all of those levels, even stronger because of the faith and the trust that he has unwaveringly, is that a word, unwaveringly, put in Yahweh, in the God of Israel. It's interesting to see that this land that he's asking for, that he's going to Joshua to request, is not, it's not an easy, just walk in and take it type thing. He knows that there's still these descendants of Enoch that are there that he's going to have to take care of, and he knows that if God is pleased and God is with him, he's going to be able to go in and take what it is that God has promised him. It was hilly, it was mountainous, and it was occupied. And it was probably territory that nobody else wanted because of that very reason. And Caleb's like, well, I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to fear. God's already told me I'm going to have this. You know, he promised it to me through Moses, and he wasn't presuming upon God in this case, that God had given him this promise. And so it just made sense to Caleb that I might as well just go in and request it and go take this. I feel good. I look good. I don't know how he looked, but as good as he felt 85 years in there, 45 years in the desert probably did not do wonders for his looks. But he was ready to go. And as a result, God never forgot the promise that he made to Caleb. I think if Caleb had not proven faithful, God still would have never forgotten the promise. But Caleb might not have received it because he didn't fulfill his end of the agreement here, that he would remain faithful, that he would follow God and all of these things. But we don't see that happen in Caleb's life. We see him through all of the circumstances, through all of these things, through seeing the leader of their nation, Moses, not be able to enter the promised land. That might have put some fear in him. That through all of that, his confidence and his trust in God never, ever wavered. And as he goes in and takes the land, if you read a little bit farther, I believe in chapter 15, it says he drove out three groups of people. He drove out all of the inhabitants, which is almost a unique tag on the story, because if you read the other tribes who've gone in to take their land, more often than not, there's a little side note that says, but they did not drive out all of these people. So as a result, they've coexisted with, you know, which did not mean happy days moving forward for those tribes that had entered the land. But Caleb was faithful. He fulfilled his end of the bargain. They cleared the land. They took care of the people who inhabited it. And as a result, Caleb, and not just Caleb, but his descendants, generation after generation after generation, are not only blessed, but abundantly blessed through Caleb's faithfulness in believing the promise of God. And not just believing it, but acting on it. Becomes those, that word, obedience. Caleb could have just said, oh yeah, I believe God promised me this, and then just not done anything at all. But Caleb knew that if he really believed that God was going to do this, there were some things that he was going to have to act on and respond to. God never forgot or failed Caleb in any of the days of his long journey on earth. He proved faithful. Caleb proved faithful, but God ultimately proved faithful to Caleb, and ultimately through this promise that he fulfilled of this land. And as a result, Caleb's family and his descendants, generation after generation after generation, experienced the blessing of God because of the faithfulness of one person. We all face difficulties, we all face circumstances, we all face trials that we have to go through. But when we face them with the grace and the power of God, what we find is that God not only blesses us, he blesses all of those around us. He can use the circumstances, he can use the hard times in life to make us a blessing and a testimony to everyone we come into contact with. Just like he did with Caleb. And we see that in his life, and we see that in the lives of people over and over and over again through Scripture. As they trusted God, as they believed in God, and as they acted on that faith, many times in the face of what appeared to be insurmountable difficulties. God blessed and kept his promises. And as a result, not only were they blessed, but everybody around them had been blessed as well. We ultimately see that in the person who came as a result of all of these promises that God would keep through the years to the people of Israel. We all know who that is. Jesus. So once again, you know, Caleb does fill a big chunk of the story, but it's ultimately God who is the hero. Because it's in Jesus that we don't just experience victory. Like, I mean, Caleb experienced victory. He experienced blessing, but the blessing that we get as a result of the ultimate promise that God would fulfill, the victory that we experience in Jesus. We should have sang that today, victory in Jesus. We can save that for next week. That's the ultimate promise that God delivers, is that we have freedom from sin. We have freedom from the fear that sin generates in us. We have freedom from all of those, the fear of whatever we can face, because we know who it is who we serve, and we know who it is who over and over and over and over again delivers on, even if it takes 45 years. You know, there's a scripture that we like to quote out of Jeremiah, I have plans for you to prosper you. You do realize it took 70 years for that promise to come. God also told the people of Israel, but you're going to have to go through some things before I prosper you. So when you quote that verse, while it does make us feel all warm and fuzzy, it might take 70 years for God to make good on that. You know, I think just over a week ago, I came to the, at least the conclusion of a section of my journey that took, and this is one of the reasons this story really just resonated with me, it took 45 years. While many of my friends have been, you know, pastoring and ordained since we were in our early 20s, mid-20s, it took God a few more years to work some of that stuff out in me. But God made good on his promise to not bring me to a certain point just to leave me. He kept shaping and bringing people in my life. And as I trusted and followed him, he kept making good on his promises, and he kept proving himself faithful. And I just kept trusting him, and he kept giving me reasons to trust him. And now I don't have any reason to doubt, even in those moments where it creeps up in my mind. You know, when Cletus shows up, I'm like, oh, shut up. It might take me a little while to come around telling him to shut up, but you know. And just like Caleb, that faithful follower, we don't hear hardly anything about him. We hear about him in Numbers. There's a few references to him, along with Joshua being the two that get to enter the promised land. We hear about him here back in Numbers. We hear about him in Joshua, but we don't hear, we hear a whole lot about Joshua. And I'm thankful for the Joshuas. I'm thankful for the ones who have entire books that are written about them that lead from the front, and we, you know, God has a place for the Joshuas. But man, I'll tell you, the older I get, the more we are in desperate, desperate need of the Calebs. The Calebs who we only hear a few sentences about, but whose faithfulness resonates for generations. It's not always the loudest voice in the room that's the one we need to listen to. Ninety-nine percent of the time, it's the most faithful voice that we need to listen to. Caleb is such a powerful example of long-haul faithfulness. 85 years old. Now, that was probably fairly young way back then, but still, we need Calebs. I'm thankful for the Joshuas. I'm thankful for the Moseses. But man, I, especially in a day and age where shouting just doesn't seem to translate well. You know, you ever encounter people who can't communicate, you people who there's a language barrier, and it's people who, it's Americans who tend to do this. You're speaking to someone who's speaking French and they don't understand. What do? We yell louder. As if our lack of volume is going to make up for the fact that they just don't understand what we're saying. But someone who is patient enough to actually communicate and connect, like a Caleb, that has a much more lasting impact than those who just like to shout loud. Caleb's life reflects a life of faithfulness and trust, and as a result, we see God never forgot. God never forgot what he had promised Caleb. He had never forgot the faithfulness and the trust that Caleb and Joshua both had placed in him when they sent the spies out, as they journeyed along through the wilderness, as they just stayed faithful. And I'm thankful for the example of Caleb today. May God raise us all up. You know, if nobody ever hears our names, but our influence and our faithfulness and what God is able to do through us, if God ends up the hero of the story and nobody knows who I am at the end of the day, so be it. I'll proudly and humbly wear that Caleb name tag, if that's what God would have me do. If he wants to raise us up as Joshua's, but man, we give us more Caleb. The quiet, faithful, demonstrably blessed people who just trust God all through the years, all through the difficulties. And may generation after generation after generation, whether our family or the families of other people that we just happen to come across, may they be blessed by God because of our faithfulness and the fact and the truth that we were just crazy enough to be bold enough to believe God, even after all this time, that he would make good on his promises to us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this witness of Caleb. We thank you for the witness of Joshua. We thank you for the bold leadership in stepping in and being obedient to you after the death of Moses, that he was willing to take the reins and be the leader that you would have him be. But we thank you for the Calebs. We thank you for those who we don't hear much about them, but the evidence of their lives and the fruit of their lives is unignorable. And so we pray right now that if you would, whatever way you choose, if you want to use us as a Joshua, may we move ahead in obedience. And if you want to use us as a Caleb, where you just call us to a life of faithfulness, not a lot of, obviously he has notoriety because he was only one of two that entered the promised land, but he's almost a side note to the life of Joshua, except for the fact that he's pointed to as this example of long haul faithfulness throughout his journey. And we know that yes, the destination of the promised land was important, but it was the journey that Caleb went on and how he showed and exhibited his faith in you. That's really what we remember and we hold on to as an example. And ultimately, what we hold on to as an example that Caleb gives us is that he knows and understands and speaks and acts on the reality that you are the hero. It's not Caleb. It's not Joshua. It's not anybody else who would come along. But he lives his life and experiences the blessings that he does because he has made you the hero. And may that be true of every single one of us in here. May it be true for these students who are going back to school. May it be true for this staff and teachers who are returning to school. May it be true of any of us in whatever walk of life we are in. When people look at us and when they encounter us, may they know that you are the hero of the story. And if you want to, in the pages of history, give us an entire book or maybe just a section of a chapter, we leave that in your hands. We leave that to you to decide how to use us and how to for us to be remembered. But above all, may it be remembered about us that we were servants of you. Even Moses in this story, as Caleb refers to him, he was the servant of the Lord. That's how Moses is remembered. Even in the midst of all of the things, in the midst of him not being able to enter the promised land, in the midst of his imperfections, he was still known as the servant and the friend of God. And may that be true of all of us, whether we're Moses, Joshua, Caleb, whatever it is that you would have us be. May we be known as those who lift you up as the hero. Be with us the rest of this week. Be with us especially as we enter into these new seasons of this year. Those returning to school, those of us around them who can support and pray and be an encouragement, may you use us in that way. And may you continue to use us in any way you see fit. May we make the most of every opportunity that you give us this week and maybe respond in obedience to whatever it is that you call us to do. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.